Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: Walking in Love. Chapter 7. Parameters for checking the practice of true love or walking in love. In the previous chapter, we saw that the love of God is also the bond of perfection and the support of a Christian's actions in the other gifts granted by God or in the different aspects of the Lord's calling for a Christian, which, consequently, shows that love, of course, does not discard the other gifts and virtues of God to which it serves as a bond, as, for example, the truth, righteousness, and grace of God. 2 John 1, 3. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. So, any proposition that claims to be according to the love of God must also, obligatorily or conjointly, be equally grounded in the truth, righteousness, and grace of God to be conformed to the criteria of what determines whether a proposition is truly in line with heavenly love. Furthermore, also the other parameters that are associated with the descriptions of God's love and the practice of this love are very evident in the scriptures so that Christians do not become confused and entangled by propositions that oppose them and their hope in the Lord, plus the fact that perfect love is still confirmed by the witness of the Spirit of the Lord in the heart of every Christian who gives due attention to Him. Romans 5, 5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. On the other hand, any proposition that presents itself as being in line with the love of God, but which, at the same time, is a proposition that promulgates unrighteousness or lies, is characterized as a false proposition of acting in the love of God, for as we have seen in previous chapters, love works according to the truth and righteousness of God, not rejoicing and not cooperating with unrighteousness or falsehood. 1 Corinthians 13, 4-6. Love suffers long and is kind, love does not envy, love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. By announcing His love as the bond of perfection, the Lord has also already declared that what is presented in a corrupted way regarding truth, righteousness, and heavenly grace does not actually have the origin in the heavenly love that God longs to grant and grants to those who believe in Christ Jesus in their hearts and receive Him as Lord in their lives. When someone, for example, tries to announce the grace of God claiming, on the one hand, that this grace is only validated by the practices of the law of Moses or, on the other hand, that under this grace a person does not suffer any harm even if one again subjects oneself to sin, this individual who proposes these claims is in no way acting according to the love of God. On the contrary, one seeks to corrupt both the Lord's grace and love. A reason why a Christian should abstain from this type of person or idea. Similarly, when an individual announces that one, out of love for God and one's fellow people, is willing to be a mediator between people and God, one is likewise not acting in the love of God, seeking to corrupt the truth into a lie and the righteousness that is in Christ into unrighteousness, for God has already clearly declared that, except for Christ, He does not accept mediators between Him and every human being, as also addressed in the theme Walking in Truth. 1 Timothy 2, 4-6. God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Therefore, the various parameters that apply to verify the veracity or integrity of truth, grace, righteousness, salvation, and the promises of God, and many other aspects, equally, by extension, are also applicable to the investigation of every act that presents itself as an act of God's love, For as already mentioned, love is the bond of perfection of each of the other aspects referenced in this paragraph. And since the parameters of the various aspects mentioned in the previous paragraph are already addressed in specific themes, such as the gospel of God's righteousness, the gospel of salvation, the gospel of God's grace, walking in an acceptable and worthy manner of God, and walking in truth, we do not intend to go over them in this subject. In which, however, we would like to emphasize a little more a specific point about the investigation, checking, or validation of a person's love towards one's fellow people. In this way, although we have already mentioned in previous chapters that a Christian is called to love, according to the love of God, those who are also of the Lord, we would still like to discuss at this point some considerations of the two texts that follow below. 1 John 4, 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. 1 John 5, 1-5. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? In these last texts, we can notice again that love comes from God, that the Christian has a new life that comes from God, and that it is according to these facts or because of these facts that Christians are called to love one another. Nevertheless, in the last text above, we can see that there is an even more explicit expression that states how a Christian should love the children of God with the love of the Lord, teaching very objectively even how it can be ascertained whether or not a Christian is in fact appropriately practicing true love towards one's fellow people. When the text in reference declares that by this we know that we love the children of God, followed by the instruction of how this is accomplished, the text is presenting one of the ways that most objectively clarify if a Christian is or is not loving indeed those one considers as one's fellow believers of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have already seen in previous chapters that the Lord instructed his disciples to love one another with the love in which they were also loved by him, which, in turn, is according to the love of Christ for the Heavenly Father. However, in the above text of 1 John 5, we find an exposition of the same subject detailing even a little more what had already been taught previously by the Lord Jesus Christ. Under these last considerations, let us then look at the specific text in reference once more, as follows. 1 John 5, 2. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. Given this, how can a Christian then know if one really loves one's fellow believers of faith in Christ Jesus? Following the text above, the answer to this last question is very interesting, for the answer to a horizontal relationship question is presented, firstly, through the Christian's conduct regarding a relationship with the Lord. It is primarily in how a Christian relates in love with God, and consequently with God's instructions for one's life, that this Christian can find out if one loves indeed the other children of God. Thus, if someone does not love God, rejects God's love, and consequently does not walk or practice God's will for one's life, one also refrains from loving oneself and one's neighbor. That is, no matter how much a person makes tireless declarations of love to those one considers one's fellow believers in faith in God or those who are close to him or her, one only loves them indeed with the love of God, the appropriate content, if one first loves God and follows the instructions of God's will for one's life. For a person who does not practice God's will does not practice good toward oneself and also does not promote good to others. Since God's instruction to his children is the fruit of God's love for them, If Christians reject God's instruction, they also reject God's love, thereby placing themselves in the condition or position in which they also no longer practice the love of God towards their fellow people. As seen in the theme works, labors, and services, it is the Lord Jesus Christ that a Christian is called to follow and serve. One more reason why serving or not serving one's fellow men is characterized as a consequence of Christ's instruction to every Christian. Colossians 3:23-24. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. In other words, considering that the love of God is not a synonym for unlimited tolerance towards unrighteousness and towards sin, for the love of God is not an accomplice of sin, nor does it cover up the darkness and its works of unrighteousness, loving enemies with the love of God is not rejoicing at the unrighteousness they do. On the contrary, love for enemies is also expressed by prayer to God so that all may come to the knowledge of the truth, repent of their perverse practices, and enjoy fellowship with the one and eternal Creator of heaven and earth. Similarly, to love fellow believers of faith in Christ is not to give in to the selfish interests of each one of them. Instead, it is to persevere in God and God's will so that fellow believers may benefit from the will of God being carried out by those who indeed love their fellow believers in the Lord. Thus, when the Scriptures instruct Christians to love God, love other Christians, and also love their enemies, they teach them to love them in all situations equally with the love of God, which, in turn, the Lord clearly announces and teaches that it expresses itself in practice as follows. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:23-24. Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine but the Father's who sent me. 2 John 1:6. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Although every Christian is called to love other Christians, people in general, and even one's enemies, it is in loving the Lord and following his instruction that a Christian puts oneself in a position to truly love others or walk in the love of God also to love one's fellow men. Therefore, just as it happens in the situation where people try to do works for God and not together with God, and because of this, they fail to achieve the purpose of walking in the works of God prepared beforehand for them to walk in, so also, a person cannot effectively practice the love of God according to the will of the Lord if one does not first love God and does not walk according to the will of God for one's life. Because many people do not pay attention to how they are called to practice love or walk in love, many of their works, which they even call Christian works, are not indeed works based on the truth, on the righteousness of God, the fruit of instruction from the Lord, and supported by the bond of perfection, being, instead, deprived of being recognized by God as worthy of some heavenly or eternal value. When, for example, people create institutions or associations that claim to shelter God, despite the Lord having said that he does not dwell in human institutions and buildings but dwells in the hearts of those who believe in him. And when around these institutions they build ministries to which people are subject and obliged to serve with their time and resources, through the collection of tithes and offerings that God never required of Christians, these works show themselves as not being works according to the righteousness of God. And, therefore, they are not works according to the love of God either, however elaborate or attractive the speeches of those who promulgate this kind of works may be. Aspects covered more widely in the themes: the gospel of the righteousness of God, the gospel of the glory of God and the glory of Christ, and another gospel or a different gospel. Matthew 24, 23-26. Then if anyone says to you, "Look, here is the Christ," or "There," do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore if they say to you, "Look, he is in the desert," do not go out, or "Look, he is in the inner rooms," do not believe it. Additionally, the Lord also warned that many will say, "Lord, Lord," claiming to have done many works in the name of God. However, since their works were not done in righteousness, in love, or according to the will of God, the Lord will not recognize them if they do not humble themselves in repentance before God in due time. Matthew 7, 21-25. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?" And then I will declare to them, "I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Therefore whoever hears these sayings of mine, and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Faced with these last texts, we can know, then, that those who propagate, teach, and support works that will never be approved by God, naming them, however, works of God, do not love their fellow men, but propagate works of unrighteousness. And it is up to them to carry out a work of profound repentance and change their practices and preaching, preceded, above all, by returning to the one who should be the first love of their lives, namely, the Lord Jesus Christ and his instructions. Thus, if a Christian is not moved in one's heart to love other fellow believers of faith in Christ as a result of one's love primarily for God and the Lord's instruction, one needs to review one's position towards the love of God, always keeping in mind that to love others, one needs to be loving God to the point of also having the desire to walk according to the commandments, instructions, that God gives for one's life. The regular thing for a Christian who loves God and follows the Lord's instruction is also for him or her to be moved by this love to love other fellow believers in Christ, remembering, however, that this should occur in this order so that each Christian knows that one is indeed loving one's fellow men according to the love of God. 1 John 4:21. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Moving forward, we also remember here that one of the most beautiful aspects of life in Christ is the restoration of the simplicity that can exist in the fellowship of fellow believers in Christ with each other. However, particularly also in this case, it should be remembered that this simplicity can only be achieved if each Christian first loves the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord's instruction for one's life. The revelation of Christ to the world introduced a new way for people to be able to relate with fellow believers of faith in God. However, it is new precisely because it can be done first in God and then be reflected or shared among fellow believers of faith in Christ. Similarly, just as living in Christ, living in the Holy Spirit, or being taught of the Lord precedes walking in Christ or walking in the Spirit of the Lord, so loving God, to the point of walking in his instruction or his will, also precedes a Christian's love for one's family, fellow believers of faith in Christ, and people in general. Given this, a Christian does good to another Christian when one does the will of God. However, if one abstains from practicing God's will for one's life, one also begins to refrain from doing good towards the other children of God. In yet other words, fidelity or faithfulness to God and God's will is what manifests whether a Christian really loves one's fellow believer of faith in Christ, even if what God instructs an individual to do, in some situations, displeases other people or even other Christians. To love fellow Christians fraternally is not to meet the yearnings and desires of each one of them, but it is to do and remain doing what God instructs each Christian to do, an aspect also addressed in the theme Fellowship of Christians in the World. If we still look at the example of the Lord Jesus, we can understand that if he had done everything that the disciples wanted him to do, he would not have been faithful to God to die for his disciples and for all people on the cross of Calvary to provide them with the way of redemption and eternal salvation. As yet another example, parents also love their children, with the love of God, when they position themselves in favor of God in their lives, and not when they fulfill all their children's wishes. So, a Christian loves one's neighbor when one loves God and is faithful to God. And even if the purpose of an instruction from God, at one point, may not be widely visible regarding the good it will bring to fellow believers of the faith in Christ, the instruction of God is still the way to be followed by those who love the Lord, for only God knows all things and when they converge for the good of those who love him with heavenly love. Even the brotherly love that tries to overcome the love of God and the love of works that tries to overcome or oppose the condition of a Christian to have God as the first love in one's heart lack the content of the perfect love of God, for the love of God is not given to Christians to draw them away from God himself or to put God second in their lives. Revelation 2:4-5. Nevertheless I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. God should always be a Christian's first love. And this should never be altered, neither by brotherly love nor by the so-called Christian works. On the other hand, when God is not placed first and is no longer the first love of the Christian's life, the lamp that houses the light that illuminates the heart of this Christian is subject to extinguishing. For this reason, also to keep the light of the lamp in one's heart always burning and vigorous, a Christian is called to remain attentive to the unique one whom one is called to have as one's first love. John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Summarizing here, then, the last paragraphs, we remember that the first works of the Christian are faith in God, hope in God, and love for the Heavenly Father, His beloved Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit through the very love of God. Finally, in this chapter, we would like to highlight that considering that an integral part of the love of God in the life of a Christian is also reflected in the love toward one's fellow men, no Christian needs to fear that by choosing the Lord as one's first love, one will no longer be able to love others. On the contrary, it is in loving God and following God's will that a Christian also finds the appropriate measure of love for oneself and one's fellow people, as well as the provision and support to practice this love according to the truth, the grace, and the righteousness of God. Mark 8:35. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Psalm 16:1-3. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, You are my Lord, my goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight.